Howdy, everybody. This is Douglas Newsom on with the Cosmic Poet Show. Now, I'm going to say cosmetic once in a while because I'm in the cosmetic business, and I get roughed up a little bit about that, so it's the Cosmic Poet. I don't even know what a cosmetic poet is, but it sounds just a little bit off to me. Today, I'm just going to wing it. I've been working really hard, getting a lot of stuff done, excited about getting it all done. And I invited a gentleman by the name of Chris Moores, a host of the Creative Cosmos Show, to join me today. And I'm going to be calling in Dr. Valerie Saxon, hopefully if she's available in about 20, 30 minutes, to read one of her poems online. But I wanted to tell you, before I bring Chris Moores on, I wanted to tell you all a little bit about this gentleman. It's ironic because I've seen him before, even before he got here. He looks like a cross between Santa Claus and Buddha. And looks just like a spirit guide that Donald and I have. It's our financial spirit guide. For some reason, Chris Moore is a spiritual and we've got this financial spirit guide that looks like him. I don't know what he was, but I know he looked like a merchant. Yeah, still looked like a merchant, kind of like a, hard to describe. What a great individual, though. I love this man sincerely. Heart, depth, a true friend's friend. I'm getting the pleasure of getting to know him this week. And his beautiful wife-to-be, Amy. What a lovely couple. And you'd be amazed, folks, when you have a beautiful soul around. It's like having a higher frequency around. You can't help but be affected by it. And it takes you deeper in the minutes of thought because those people are more thoughtful. So you you become that way around them, and their frequency just helps in every way. I would encourage everybody to have a master. Just listen somehow. Get a master. Pay them anything you want, but bring them into your life. Charm with love. That should win the trick. This is Chris Moores. Chris, howdy to the Poet Show.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It only seems right that the host of the Creative Cosmos and the Cosmic Poet will come together and explore cosmic matters. And I appreciate the time. And I've been, for those of you out there listening, I've been visiting both Don and Doug and in the studios and BBS. And wow, what a hub of activity and excitement and wonderful people coming through all the time. I mean, that too is a real boost in frequency, sharing this influx of ideas and information and just a wonderful attitudes about life. And we all support each other and hopefully sharing that with you.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. You know, I when you feel Chris's energy, you know, his movement's only towards one positive thing and one positive force under the world, and it's exciting to have him here and a part of the BBS radio team. Today, when I say I haven't really prepared for this, you know, and it's ironic, folks, because the difference between, and Chris, you've got to agree, and I just spoke to Chris about this, and I feel just slightly, excuse me, I'm hearing somebody in the background, unprepared. And that's because good show hosts prepare for their show. I found this out to be true. Nevin, brilliant, wonderful, human, warm-hearted individual who was part of the BBS team, he'd prepare 3 or 4 hours a day for his show that day. 3 or 4 hours, folks. 3 or 4 hours. That's the dedication he gave to the subject matter that he read. They came prepared. And I'm working throughout the week, and I have nothing really. I'm going, oh my gosh, there's one poem up there. What do I have to take 1 hour with one poem? What do I do? What do I do? Of course, I'm thinking this right before the show, folks.
Yeah, so we decided that, you know, together we would adopt a poetic mood, a poetic atmosphere, and you know, if you reflect upon your day and you reflect upon the activities and you take the time to slow things down and you see the wisdom in every moment and the beauty of life as it unfolds, you can find poetry anywhere. Expression, nature, form, you know, and it comes through seeing, stopping the mind and looking at the world through the heart. And every one of us has a song inside. And as Douglas and I were speaking before the show, you know, poetry isn't just words. It isn't just prose. It isn't just a few phrases about this or that, although it is that. You know, there could be some phrases that don't have the music of poetry because maybe they're an expression in some other form, but then they're kind of a different kind of thing. But anyway, poetry itself, you know, music is a kind of poetry. Painting, you know, when you look at a Van Gogh painting, well, the harmony in the beauty of it has an effect on you, which awakens a poetic quality.
You know, it's as a man who loves poetry, but growing up, Chris, I didn't have the mojo, let's say, in my artistic abilities. When I went dancing, I had two left feet. When I went to draw a particular figure on a piece of paper, because everybody doodled in class. You know how the kids are coming up. Everybody's got their notepad and they're doodling. I sketched nothing. I couldn't even do a stick figure.
Hmm.
Anything that came to an artistic bend, and I'm sure a lot of people feel like that. They're not. It's, you know, the difference between a good work of art in painting and a great work of art, they tell me, is time. Okay, so it took a month to paint a painting. Some guy might fly through a painting in a day, or maybe that's his creative bend. But I feel a little bit guilty because I haven't devoted the time, like an hour, to sketch somebody's beautiful face and shades, right? So I never developed any sort of a creativity that way. But does that not, is there not other aspects of my life? Here I am, a mathematical mind. Other aspects of my life that are that show me poetry. That's the question.
Oh yeah, totally. You know, the way I look at it is, you know, humans intrinsically have a poetic nature because life flows through them, and life always changes and always expands and always grows into new things. And if we can open up to that inside, then whatever we do is poetry. And I think one of the keys is that we see that quality about ourselves, that we accept ourselves in our own aspect, our own nuance. We each embody different things. Like you say, you have a mathematical mind. Well, someone else might have a very musical tendency, or someone else, you know, might be very mechanically inclined. And you know what? If you see a good mechanic working on a car, doing his thing with a smile on his face and a song on his in his heart, that's poetry too.
I totally agree. Poetry can be simply gazing at the sun through your goggles, through your perceptive wonderland. And it doesn't require something written, something expressed, other than in the mind almost. So poetry could be a realm within the mind of its beauty. And for me, that encompasses quite a bit more than being artistic on paper. And that, you folks, you fall into that trap. I have no artism in me. I'm not artistic. I'm more like autistic. But and people categorize themselves on one bend or another. For me, I'm only now starting to end that you can't categorize people with words. Words are simply, who created words? Somebody get this guy by the neck, because that really limited our total expression, which I think initially went beyond words.
Yeah, and we really have, that's, you know, talking about this, maybe we can recover that quality, because it can be reawakened and reexamined, and we can get beyond the words and not let the words define us. So one thing you said is not to define others with words, but it's also really important not to define ourselves with words, because that stops the flow. It shuts down the flow, and then we become stagnant. And then if someone says, hey, can you write a poem or draw a picture? Well, of course you feel like you can't, because that doesn't fit into your definition of who you think you are. But that doesn't need to be that way. Sure, you can have some tendencies or some things you take pleasure in that are particular to your personal idiosyncratic nature. Of course, we all have things we are drawn to. But, you know, we can do anything, anytime. All of us can at any time try something totally new, dive into a new topic. And you know, even if you're stuck in a rut, you can jump out of it. You know, one thing I like to encourage with the Creative Cosmos that I do is I create in many different forms. And you know, like you say, I think many people have maybe a budding artistic, you know, someone might have some poems that they wrote, but they don't really tell anybody about, or, you know, a little, you know, I think a lot of people have their own little expressions, and maybe they don't always share them.
Maybe they don't, because they feel that there is a certain rhythm or a certain meter or a certain way or a certain system that does, that they say, okay, my poetry doesn't ascribe to that, or,
yeah,
or it doesn't portray that, and so who am I? When, in essence, it's poetry from them. It's being created on paper, regardless of what, you know, sort of meter or rhyme or alliteration or verse that they use. So a lot of people won't share their work. As a matter of fact, they're embarrassed by it, which surprises me, because I think everybody out there has got a poem or two.
Yeah, and along with that, we just have to, you know, not doubt ourselves. Like you say, it's a good point about that. Someone might write a poem of their own, but think it doesn't fit like some kind of standard of poem, or like a professional poem, or, you know, something like that. But it doesn't really work that way. If it's a true expression from you, then it has all the beauty of any work of art anywhere, because it shows a window to your soul.
You ever seen the movie? I think it's called The Gardener. I'm not sure. I might be wrong. Something The Gardener with Peter Sellers.
I don't think I caught that one.
Oh, my goodness. It just brings up a show where he's considered a great mind for the movement of a country, basically, due to his metaphoric use. And he didn't even know he was doing this, but he was talking about how business was like a plant and how you have to take care of them and water them and nourish them. They were there to grow up and be lovely. And the whole world thought he was talking about how you should treat the nation and the people. And he didn't know. He was just a gardener, and they were asking this question, and they thought he was brilliant. And through this movie, it's almost a comic, a very comic understanding of how this guy was so simple and only knew gardening. You know, everybody was thinking his philosophy was Zen. It was really, you know, doing something for the betterment of humanity.
Yeah. Yeah, you can even take that idea and go one step further and say, even though he didn't know exactly what he was doing, he was still providing the right need for the moment.
Yes, very good, very good, you know.
And that's how it played in those people's lives.
Yes.
So whether he knew it or not, that's almost beside the point.
Yes, yes, I love that movie.
Yeah, I'll have to catch that one.
Oh, to me, that was probably one of the finest.
Cool.
You know, I got a little dog. It's about 6 pounds. It's a miniature Doberman Pinscher. I like small lap dogs. I really do. But I tell you, folks, this little dog controls me in every way, shape, and form. Rules the roost. And it yaps. And if it doesn't get its way, it can become violent vocally. You ever heard of a dog becoming violent vocally, folks? It's not violent in a physical manner. It just gets loud and it lasts. It rings, too. It rings.
The relentlessness.
Is it not?
Really a part of the quality there, too.
It's just
really
amazing.
After a while, but,
it's amazing.
I'm sure there are people out there who know exactly what you're talking about. You know, we have dogs like that by our house that, they like to yap. And they like to let you know they're around, so to speak.
That, you know, I would pick that phone up because that might be a caller.
Oh.
But since Don's not here, I don't really know what. Should I?
Yeah, grab it.
Grab it.
Uh-oh,
this might be really bad, folks, but wait.
All right. Here we go.
BBS Radio, hello.
Oh, okay, folks. Oh. Wrong phone. So it's just another phone in the office. We got so many of them. So much is getting done around here. We're really excited about the future of what's going to be happening. A lot more. I know there's been some wild changes around here, Chris. You came here at a point in time where we had a COO change in Nevin.
Yeah.
We got all this new equipment in. We're trying now to make things streamlined by way of new software and so forth, and database functions that are going to be coming on really soon. It's going to make it so easy, folks. A monkey can push the buttons, but we want you to know that we still have that human touch, and that human touch is never going to go away. And that's really what takes a lot of time here because of we don't want to automate this to the point where we don't have that interaction. So that takes time to figure out those systems which aren't going to cut off that interaction, and still you can use, and it cuts down your time.
Yeah, but hey, it's not mainstream.
It's not mainstream. My brother and I do this because we love it. We don't go out. We don't want to ask. You know, I'll go broke over this, folks. Bringing the world good information, that it's like Christmas to me every day. Think of that. What's your favorite time of year, Chris?
Well, I try to live every day and enjoy every day.
You have every day.
I don't necessarily have a preference for one day over another. I enjoy holidays as they come up. And
would you
when they pass through, I still try to enjoy the next day, too.
But here's why. I would imagine that you express yourself as something that gives on, it gives something wonderful into the environment.
Well, I always remember my place on the planet, Earth, and I always try to think of life as a celebration. And you know, when the sun comes up in the morning, and the birds are singing, and the trees are reaching to the sky, and if you start the day and you embrace the day and you look at the day in a good way, hey, that was kind of poetic, right there.
Yes, it was.
Then things really go well. Every day does feel like the best day.
And this is becoming a real blockbuster day for my brother and I, because we're slowly coming to the point where bigger things are going to be implemented, and we're doing it ourselves. We really want to do this ourselves, because we feel that if we bring in other people at this time, if we can manage this, that we can make sure that human touch is all is there. But we're really trying to hone our skills on how we get the information out consistently, make sure our chives are up consistently, make sure that the interviews are posted immediately, and try to link both those systems in place so everybody can get access to information quickly and speedily. And, you know, that's exciting for the people that are out there listening to BBS Radio.
Yeah, it's like an organic work of art. It keeps evolving. It keeps shifting forms and finding it's finding more and more efficiency over time. And, you know, one thing may be there one day, and then it might disappear the next day. But the core will always be there, that personal connection, real people behind the mic just telling you what they think, telling you their view of the world, and real people who have looked deeply into themselves and into the information that's available worldwide. You know, I like to remind people sometimes that, you know, in the past, a lot of this, the wisdom and the truth that's available every day, just a click away, I mean, it took years and years and years of waiting and patience and meditation in the presence of a master or a sage or a medicine man or a priest of some sort, or any kind of mystical conduit who has gone through the process themselves. And then when the student is ready and has prepared themselves, then they can receive the transmission. You see, that, you know, these days we have so much information just everywhere, and we are soaking it all up and sharing with you what we feel to be the highest energies, the most important truths of the changes that are occurring on the Earth today.
You know, there's a topic I want to talk about a little bit, because it's the daily trial topic. But I'm going to get to that in a bit. Really what I wanted to say is this is the course of this show is going to follow a few directions. One, poetry. But if nobody's posting poetry, I'm not going to read 24 poetry of mine 24/7. It would just seem somehow, what would you call it? Hugging the limelight?
Well, it's nice to get a mix.
Yeah.
It's nice to get a lot of people involved, because, you know, it brings... Sharing is what we're all about.
And I want to share you with the world, folks. So authorsinkwell.com, that's really where to start posting your work so I can read it online. Don't be shy. Well, I'm also going to, and I'm doing this now, I'm already doing a lot of work towards getting musical bands, different musical, spiritual music, good easy listening music, music with a message, New Age music that is going to be coming on VBS Radio. So I'm out there putting out the word, getting music that we're going to be piping into those hours when we're not on radio. And those groups and those bands, up-and-comers, because there is a poetry in what they do. Music is poetry,
folks. Absolutely, absolutely.
And I would like to see those bands given a shot to maybe talk on the air with you for 25, 30 minutes with me, so we can introduce these new music groups with poetry in their hearts.
Yeah. Because we've all heard this, a lot of the tunes from the 60s, man, they're great. But we can't just listen to those tunes all the time and just those tunes. Or, some of you might like one kind of music or another kind of music. But a lot of what cycles through the radio airwaves, man, we've heard it all. And we've heard it all, again and again.
And this you won't have heard.
Yeah.
This music you're going to find new, refreshing, and interesting. And you won't hear it on mainstream. You just won't find it, folks, anywhere else but on PBS Radio. That's not true. You'll be able to find your music probably at CD Baby or some other place that they promote their music. And that's what we're here to do, is to tell them this music that we're going to pick, we like.
We're pulling it together and making it easy for you. We were checking a lot of it out last night, just hanging around, talking, and checking out some of the new bands. And boy, man, it's enjoyable.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some good artists out there that nobody's ever heard because they're not with a major label.
A lot of good artists. And the way recording studios are nowadays, you can build your own recording studio at home, or a lot of musicians have a friend who's built a recording studio, and so more and more musicians are becoming empowered to just realize their creations themselves, and they don't have to spend the 10 grand or however it costs to go through the whole super high-end studio process. Some people do, but some people don't. And some of the people who don't are wise and intuitive and expressive and creative and beautiful people who are singing from their hearts, and they've made a good high quality. You can get really good quality through a home or a medium grade studio.
Something a cappella. Give me something a cappella.
Douglas and his dog are beautiful. Douglas and his dog are beautiful.
Now, Chris, you're a musician, aren't you?
But when they bark too much. But when they bark too much.
I should do a counter melody,
Okay.
Douglas.
He wants to go for it, folks. Oh, my.
Douglas.
I'd love to take this man to karaoke.
Yeah, I do a mean karaoke.
Do you? Do you do the karaoke?
Oh, yeah.
Because I love the karaoke.
I'll bust loose.
Really?
Why not?
Okay, jazz or rap or what are you? You hardcore?
I wouldn't say too hardcore. I pick something
you
I'm
got
pretty
the sticks going.
With
you
there.
Got
good beat, good lyric.
Stuff like the sticks.
Nah, I can't quite do that vocal range.
No?
That's some hard stuff.
Okay.
I can do some Beatles tunes and some Doors tunes and things like that.
Well, I know a little karaoke bar nearby.
Wow.
Yeah, just one. I've only been out a couple times since I've been here in Paradise. But and I got to get out more, folks. I got to clear some of the cobwebs or whatever it is, the staleness, the four walls, the speaker, whatever. I've got to clear that every once in a while, and I haven't done that in like 5 years.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, so you probably don't just have cobwebs. You probably have some big spiders on your brain.
I do. I really need to get out there and jump in a pond somewhere and, be afraid. Be afraid.
Yeah, that's good. That fear is just busting things loose.
It does. It tells you you're alive, doesn't it?
Yeah, and after a while, it doesn't even feel like fear anymore. It turns into thrill. It turns into just the ecstatic state of being alive.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So you just dive in. Dive into the new. Dive into life.
I got to ask my brother a little help here. Don, can you dial in Dr. Walsh?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, folks, we're going to bring on a special guest today to hopefully read her poetry online.
All right. Can't wait.
Dr. Olmsted.
Douglas and his dog. I'll give you some intro music. Douglas and his dog. They are so beautiful.
Can I use the term no, I can't. I was going to say Chris and his bitch. You know what, Kurt, but that's a female dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why is it we put such negative connotations to words? Just sounds bad. Just the ticking of it all, I don't know.
Put you on the air with Doug. You ready?
Okay, we're going to have our special guest. I'm so excited. Hello, Dr. Olmstead?
It is.
Well, how are you doing? This is Doug Newsome.
Hey, Doug, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful today. Got so much good news. I've had a smile from the moment I got up. I'm still on my face. Some would remark that I look like I have permigrin.
That's awesome. Send some of that over here, will you?
Oh, I'm going to send it to all the world.
Oh, okay.
Tonight I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to say, God, you gave me so much. Here's all I can right back at you.
Awesome. That's great. Well, I have been enjoying listening to you and Chris and agreeing. I'm sitting here nodding my head. You know, I look like one of those little dolls in the back of the car. Yep.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, can't wait to hear your poetry.
Well, okay, I'll try to speak it without crying.
Oh, I love your work, by the way. It moves me. You're very, very talented. I'm really surprised that you haven't kept up with it and it's been so long.
Oh, thank you. I can't really claim that, but thank you. As I told you, the first poem that I wrote, or the only one I cared about, was My Mind, and that was done back in high school for an assignment.
Right.
And I never considered myself to be a poet. So most of my stuff that comes through either comes through entirely in less than a minute because it's channeled through my higher self, or the higher self gives me like the first line or the first stanza, and then I have to figure it out after that. But it's always a purging experience. It's always bringing something up and showing me what the lesson is that I've learned. And I guess what I really wanted to say to people that are listening, and I had mentioned this to you, is that anybody can do this.
Yes.
You know, I don't consider myself to be a poet. Yeah, I can write, but I'm usually writing stories. And so for me to do poetry is kind of a stretch. But what I find that works for me in the creative process is to get in contact with that source, to get really in complete click, kind of, so to speak, with the source, with the higher self, and think about something. And so I'll be musing about something, and all of a sudden a line will come. And I kind of go, wow, I kind of like the way that sounds, And then I think about it for a while, and sometimes it just pours right out, and it's a gift from the source. Or it comes, just like a couple lines, and then I have to go think about it, and then it starts pouring out for me. So some of these things I can claim, and some I can't really claim.
I can understand that totally. I actually understand even what you just did. I love the way you expressed it. You said, you get the message at the end sometimes because it just comes straight out of you, and then you have to read your work and you go, ah, that's what it's trying to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
That happens to me just recently in like two or three of the recent works when I was younger. It was just, but I see where you're coming from, and that's the magic of today. The today everybody has that power and they're waking up to it. Let the creation of everything work through you and talk through you just by writing a few words down. You might not know what happens at the end of the phrase, but try it, folks. Just try it. Just leave it up to the, just start letting, whatever pops into your mind on paper, and sooner or later you're going to see at the end it might be a coherent message. You'll go, that's strange. Well, that's almost like dream interpretation. I mean, one could reflect that that's how you, when you go to bed and you wake up and you're just in that lucid state, that you write what you dreamed down, and it becomes easier and easier and easier. Well, it's the same thing kind of with the leaving this up to source, kind of just be, let it just go like in your foggiest state and just, write down whatever you can.
Yeah,
sooner or later you get better.
Yeah, let it flow.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly have to tell you listeners that I don't go back and do revisions. Everything that I write comes out first time, no corrections, no revisions. Boom, that's done.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I have to tell you that my earth self is not that good. So I know it's coming from another source. My earth self, if I'm writing a story or if I'm writing a book or something, that's different. That flows through and I never go back and look at that either.
Yes.
But then again, that's more of a connection. But that's more of my left brain working with my right brain. and then having the connection also. But the poetry, that stuff just like flows out of me.
That that to have that creative side, to allow for that release, to that for that connection. I wish more. I truly wish more people would experience this.
Well, yeah, and all they have to do is try, listeners. All you got to do is try. Nobody has to see it. You know, just when you get a phrase and you think, "Wow, that's a really cool phrase." Like I get mine in the shower. The shower and the laundry room are kind of my phone booth to God.
Yeah.
So when I'm mad, I go in the laundry room, and the rest of the time, when I'm thinking about things and listening, I'm in the shower. And so while I'm standing there, these phrases come to me. Like when I did my ego in me, I got the first line, and I kind of went, well, that'd make a really neat poem. And I got out of the shower, and I thought about it for a while, and then the next day I sat down and said, I should really write this down. And then it just kind of all came out, and I went, wow, that was actually kind of funny. And I could see putting this into a children's book.
Wow.
Yeah. That sounds to me too. You're doing, the very important thing. What you say there is following through. When you get the idea, or you get it forming in your mind, to then follow through and express it somehow. Because then, when you get it out, you feel that expression. You feel that something that's inside. Which, in a way, if you just leave it inside, it starts getting a discontent. But when you express it and write it out some way. Not only do you feel that fulfillment of expression, but you learn something about yourself. And earlier when you said that you connected to your higher self and then let the source come in through your mind, that's a very good point too, because then you're making some kind of effort or some kind of gesture to reach to that higher part of yourself, and then it becomes more a part of your everyday reality.
Absolutely. It's like a gift. You know, if you give a gift to someone, I don't know if the listeners have ever experienced that, but I've had this happen with a couple friends. You get this gift that you think is going to be really neat and they're really going to enjoy it. And you hand them the gift and you're all excited. And they open it up and they go, oh. And they just put it aside. And you know it's something they can really use and they really enjoy. And they tell you indeed later on, oh yes, you know, that was the perfect gift for me. But they are unable to express the thankfulness. Or to express that they have received a gift and they feel bad about receiving a gift. And I think that happens with a lot of people when it comes to creative efforts. And if they would just let loose and go, hey, you know, the Creator is giving you this gift because it's to bring you pleasure and to help you through your life and to bring you a little bright spot and maybe to help other people too. So maybe that's just a different way for people to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, good points.
Instead of judging it, you know, so many people are so down on themselves. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, no, I'm too dumb.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I can't write. I can't speak. And, you know, how do you know until you try it?
Yeah, and really, too, one of the beauties is that can be a way of cultivating more positive thinking habits because going through that process can reveal your state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really learn a lot about yourself that way. That can be part of your own working out of your inner self on the road to self-discovery.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry, you know why I did that? Because Chris Moores, once in a while, when he just, and I'm in the middle of a thought, and I'll hear Chris Moores, and I go, I don't even know what that means, folks.
It means connection with the source and joy, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, please, Dr. Olmsted, please read that beautiful poem that you wrote.
Which one?
The one you posted to the website, Twin Flames.
Oh, the new one.
Yes.
Okay, I can't promise I won't cry in this one because, you know, this is my experience with my twin flame.
Well, maybe we'll cry with you.
Yeah.
Okay, you might. Okay, twin flames. Once we were one and decided on adventure to explore and become and create and have fun. We were inseparable then, as indeed we are now. We only knew light, power, wisdom, compassion, and love. Then we heard of a game the source called Life on Earth. We wanted to play and signed up with great mirth. We found it so funny, we laughed till we cried. To forget who we are? Let's jump on that ride. Then we became two, but not separate yet. We cannot be separate. Twin flames, don't forget. We descended and spiraled way down into matter. The coach told us when, amid much too much clatter. The noise, the gross smells, the chaos and confusion. How far we then fell, right into illusion. We came then into a universe so free, already mired, caught up in the spell. We passed Lucifer's place, I think they call it hell. Suddenly, we split. Each lost track of the other. Our agreement was clear, find each other on Mother. This place seems so huge, this planet called Earth. We came into that life through something called birth. We knew not each other then, but came to know others, all sisters and brothers, but of different mothers. The game started in earnest then, confusing as hell. What the heck do I do now? How can I do well? Why am I here now? I wondered at times. Who am I? Why am I? What difference makes time? On occasion, I encountered another so fine, my resistance was futile. My resolve would unwind. That other came not every lifetime, it seemed, but only at those times I'd lost it, or in a dream. Or maybe when he'd lost it, too. What a thought. That other played both sides, and I did as well, both darkness and light, both heaven and hell. We even changed genders in this great game, and tried out all manner of costumes and names. Eventually, we grew and became something new, something much higher, lighter, and then we knew. This is just a game. We too came to see it is serious we've played it. Now let's play it with glee. We came yet again to correct each the other, to really connect, completely love one another. Ah, such bliss. For we too once were one, to connect so much deeper, to remember. Such fun. We forgot that such time in the game is so short. We forgot there was more work, forgot the more forks. The forks in the path are there for a purpose. The purpose of balance, the purpose of purpose. Such pain there was then in that last awful split. Such pain in my heart. I almost quit. I felt that great tear, that huge loss in my heart. That could not be repaired. That's what I thought. It took quite a long time, a long journey for me to finally remember. He travels with me. He always is with me as near as can be. He cannot be far, for we two are free. We freely chose to come down here and play. We did it for fun. There is no delay. Everything comes in just the right time. It all is perfection. It all is divine. And now I remember and rejoice in my knowing. We can never be separate, but had to think that for growing. Our vesica piscis is almost complete. Our growing together with experiences replete. My other, my one, he helps me to see. Soon we too will be one again, complete, he was she. This journey has been hard, fraught with danger, it seems. But we came for a big job. Wake up, those who dream. So wake up, you dreamers, so we all can go home. Wake up and remember, you have twin souls. Remember the one you seem to have lost. That now is the time. Recall not the cost. Our twin flame awaits us, each one of us now. Whether this side or that, doesn't matter somehow. The greatest glory waits much nearer than far. Just remember your twin flame, and for your mission, raise the bar. Shine now, twin flame, shine now with great love. Our love comes direct from heaven above. There is nothing can stop us from being ourselves. Nothing but us, certainly nothing like hell. Remember that now, align all twin flames, and let's get on home and say thanks for the game.
Wow.
Yes. Wow.
Thank you.
Epic.
Yes.
A lifetime of lessons.
Yeah, boy, that's for sure. That was another one of those that just came right out and was quite timely, as they often are.
Oh, yes. But that was just so beautiful, and you know, if following that along, you could almost go through the some of the pain and some of the understanding and knowledge and awakening process, and it was really quite a journey. Thank you.
And sometimes it fluttered up into transcendent messages, mm-hmm. that he superseded even the relationship and more encompassed to like universal truth.
The universal love almost at the end that is just, you entwined those very effectively from one moving right into the other.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, I can't claim from this earth body that all this stuff comes through like that. It comes from a higher source and we all write from our heart, really. Every one of us, you know, to have a real creative moment has to write from what we know or what we desire. And, you know, what I have known in the last few years with all this is quite heavy.
Well, is poetry beauty? What did Keats say? Something, I forget how John, what Keats said, but is poetry beauty? Can poetry be something ugly?
No, I don't think so.
In any way, shape, or form? I know, I am posing a tough spirit, you know. I have fun with this.
Well, now, are we talking about limericks?
Oh, no, no. Well, you know.
I think that anything that comes from the creative source within is beauty. And even in pain and in great suffering, there's a beauty because it's like the phoenix. No, you get burned up, but then from the ashes you rise again.
Ah, John Keats, truth. In truth there's beauty, or truth is beauty, and beauty truth, mm-hmm. something like that. But maybe it is an expression. But you know, I keep thinking, okay, well, there's poetry. Poetry to me would be a moment that would make something more beautiful. For example, if there was a situation where you could open a door for somebody and you knew just by being able to open up, it almost poetic because you don't see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's just something you do. So in that moment, it's almost like you're creating something a little bit warmer, something more beautiful. So in that sense, I was just trying to define poetry. What is poetry? The creative flow of something?
Mm-hmm.
The creative flow of beauty. And so I'm just kind of opening up the understanding that there's poetry maybe in just the way you view each moment.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I really think that every moment that we live is a moment of poetry. We don't always see it that way. We don't always see the lesson, and we don't see the great gift. But at some point in our lives, hopefully, we get a chance to contemplate that and to realize that the truth and the motion of that truth through someone's life is real poetry.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like it would be it's ultimately the fantastic poetic ride.
Mm-hmm.
We only let it go, let open up to that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was just like what she was talking about earlier. Like, some people don't feel like what they're creating has worth for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're trapped in their mind and trapped in a limited view of themselves, which is how we started the program, you know, not to limit yourself or to put yourself in any kind of a definition that excludes the possibility of this kind of depth of experience, which reveals awareness and your consciousness.
You know, that brings me to the understanding the daily trial that I wanted to express about, but that's, for me, what is reality? And if you believe it's real, is it not real? And any poetry, if you express it or if you believe in it or you feel it, it is real. It has substance, and it's totally unique and totally correct.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a whole environment unto itself. So that, I guess, I just wanted to talk about it, that particular daily trial, because it does melds in here, but I don't have a lot of time. I know we've only got a couple minutes left for the show, and I wanted to thank you, Dr. Olmsted, for being on our show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Doug. I've really enjoyed it, and I didn't know if I could get through that without bursting into tears, because, you know, it is my experience. But
we are so grateful. Will you allow us to bring you back?
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you. And
absolutely.
Keep write those experiences down. They're epic, they're wonderful, and I'm looking forward to each and every one you write.
Well, thank you.
Matter of fact, you're inspiring me to sit down for a few minutes a day and just see what lessons come to me.
Or,
you know.
And I hope that the listeners will do that, too. Even if you don't think you're any good at it, just write it down for yourself.
Indeed.
Just allow that flow of love and truth to come through you. And even if it's a difficult experience, you know, the putting it on paper, the letting it go is the magic. And realizing that, wow, you know, that, yeah, this is my life. And there's something I learned from this. You know, it can be very beautiful.
Well, thank you, Chris. We're going to let you go, Dr. Olmsted.
All
we
right,
will.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I loved your poem.
Well, thank you so much.
Have
blessings to both of you.
Yeah, you too.
Well, Chris, wasn't that delightful?
Man, that was awesome. It was just, you know, that sometimes when you start out the show like we did, just feeling your way around, it becomes something really special like that. Especially when you play off each other and share with each other. And then we did with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, and we just opened up and created some higher vibrations by sharing with each other.
And we created realities. That was the point of the whole thing. You can create any reality. Everything you believe is true. Everything you believe is true 100% for you. And you are your own world, and everything else is a figment. It's nothing. It's zero. If you can imagine, it's all within you. So in that moment, there's no judgment. There's no, you don't have to be better than the next man or worse than the next man or write something better or have any preconceived notions when you're doing a piece of work, because whatever you do is perfect and right and real. It's real, folks. It has tangibility in more ways than you can possibly imagine. It has tangibility even through the belief system of it. And so empower that work by opening up to it. Just say, give me anything. I mean, come on. Scooby-Dooby, I don't know what you want to write about, but I don't care if it's Scooby-Dooby went down the hall, had a great fall, and lived happily ever after, right? Just write it, post it to Authors Inkwell. I will enjoy reading it, and I will always post a work now a week. I'm going to get, even if it's only two or three lines, I'm going to post something new every week. And we are looking forward to our next show this time. Chris, I want to thank you. I love you, buddy.
It was a pleasure, man. I love you, too.
You, gentlemen, he is a walking personification of a Christ, a beautiful spirit. It's, you know, Chris Moore's for president. That's where we're going, by the way. Another 10 years. Chris Moore's going to be president. We're going to have to put out the national campaign. This guy is that great, folks. He is that wonderful a soul. Oh, I wish everybody would have the pleasure of meeting such a man.
Oh, thanks.
Chris, I love you. We're going to sign off.
Right.
Until next week, blah.
Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program. And we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.